Isn't he married?
He's not married, no.
What? But they, what? What?
Yeah. But he is like her mentor for the whole series. And it, the power dynamic is like a little bit weird. It's like
Celine Dion.
Yeah. Ooh, and. No.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to BYOB, the Bring Your Own Book podcast. My name is Nikki.
And I'm Kelly.
And this week we're joined by Tilly as we talk to her about her favorite childhood book, read. I was going to say her favorite childhood favorite. It's a little redundant. But it is Wild Magic by Tamara Pierce, or Tamora, as Tilly likes to say, which also is how I read it. So yeah. I was really surprised when I heard that it is Tamara, but I mean, I guess that is her name. So that's fine. What am I to do about it?
Yeah.
So to get started with this episode, we're going to get Tilly to read the synopsis for us so we're all on the same page.
Young Dane's knack with horses gets her a job helping the royal horse mistress drive a herd of ponies to Tartal. It soon becomes clear that Dane's talent, despite her struggles to hide it, is downright magical. Horses and other animals not only obey the mysterious girl, they come to her and seem to listen to her words. But Dane will have to learn to trust humans before she can come to terms with her powers, her past, and herself. There's a second part that's more like set in Tartal during the reign of King Jonathan III, which is like,
We know what's happening.
That's right. Oh my god. I'm so excited to talk about this book, you guys. It's so special to me.
Kelly and I haven't read the book before, so this is totally new experience for us. Kelly, do you want to talk a little bit about what your experience was like?
Sure. So while I haven't read while I hadn't read this book before, I have read Alana, or Alana, as they said in the audiobook, which I was like,
what?
Yeah.
That's also not my truth. Yeah. I'm saying Alana till the day I die.
Yeah, I was like, Alana. Like, I don't know. Nothing wrong with that, but I don't know her. So I read that book. So I knew kind of a little bit about the world, but not a lot. I just was like,
and you only read it last year, right? For the first time.
Yes.
Right.
So I was like, okay, some of this I know. And when she shows up in the book, I was like, oh my God, I messaged Tilly and I was like, is this the same? Yes, it is. So I liked this book better than Alana, like Tilly predicted. I gave this a 3.5 out of 5 because I don't know if I would have read this as a kid, just because like, I think I was more, I didn't read a lot of fantasy as a kid. I read like Harry Potter, but in terms of fantasy, not a lot. Like I read a lot of like mystery, adventure, and then I skipped right on over to like contemporary teen. Like I don't know. But I had a good time. I really liked that. I like all the animal stuff because I would have liked that if I could like talk to animals, you know, I would have been like, what's going on? You know, like,
I
have
just like that.
Literally. I'm like, I have a Disney princess dream of like just calling the animals to me, and she could do that. Yeah. And I'm like, excuse me. But I gave it a 3.5 because I don't know if I missed something or if it just gets explained later, but I was a little confused as to why this adventure was happening. Like, why she goes with Anua at the beginning, but then I wasn't exactly sure like what was going on, and then things started happening and I was like, okay, like this is happening now, but I didn't know like the overarching why, I guess, which I was like, maybe I missed it, I don't know, which we can talk about, because I was like, I don't know if I missed it. But I also liked the magic system because I felt kind of like the Poppy War, but not at all. Only in the sense that, like, they have meditation time, and it's all about, like, focusing on, like, your mental power to get your magic to work and everything. And I thought that was really cool. And it wasn't just like, say these words, you know, it was like, this is how you have to focus your mind. You have to channel your energy, like all that I really liked. So yeah, it was fun. And it was definitely something that I don't know if I would have liked as a kid, but I can understand it better and enjoy it as an adult, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is good too with kids' books, because the other books we read too, I enjoyed them as an adult. And like, I think a good kid book, you can enjoy it any time in your life, or like not just at one specific time, you know? Because writing skills.
Yeah, they're important.
Yeah.
I guess I'll talk next, and then we'll talk to Tilly about her like experience reading it as a kid and now. So I initially gave this book 2.5. And the longer I sit with it, the higher my rating gets, because I was kind of in the same boat as Kelly reading, being like, what or like, why are they putting so much, like they're putting so much pressure and like, this girl is gonna like help us with all of our problems. And I'm like, but why do they feel that way? And what, she's good with the horses. Cool. Apparently animals are smarter once they're around her. They think more like humans. And I'm like, cool, I want to know more about that. I feel like I did get through the whole book kind of being like, I don't really understand, but I think I do want to read the next one, because I think this was just a very long setup for something real to happen. The more that I sat with it, I was like, I don't know if I like this book, but there was something about it that I kept thinking about the plot, and it really made me feel a lot of similar ways to The Golden Compass by Philip Pullman. And I was like, that's when I was like, I think I need to read, I really need to read the next one, because I think that I need more answers. But there was something about Dane, I don't, probably just her talking to the animals and stuff, that really reminded me of Lyra. And I was like, I need more, I think. So it's weird. Like I got done and I was like, I don't know. And the more that I said, I'm like, yeah, this is cool.
That's great.
That's how I felt about Pendragon too, the first time I read the first book. I was like, I didn't like that. And then the more I sat with it, I was like, I really liked that.
Confusion. Sometimes just takes the brain a second to catch up.
Yeah. Yep. I haven't read Pendragon, so I don't know anything.
So good.
About it. So good. So good.
Tilly!
Well, I'm glad you both enjoyed it. I saw you both, your ratings on Goodreads, and I had a moment of like, oh no, maybe they didn't like it, which was like, that's sad for me.
Right.
But it's nice to talk about it, because I totally get where you're coming from, both of you. I agree with Nikki. I think a lot of the stuff kind of gets explained. This is a little quartet. So there are four books, and they are all kind of like, once you get the whole picture, I feel like everything makes more sense.
Yeah.
And then for me, like knowing the whole picture, going back and reading just this one, it feels really good as a standalone, but I can totally see how it like maybe wouldn't if you don't know everything that happens.
Because this is like a Marvel megaverse kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Which is cool.
It's pretty, it's very cool that way. And almost all of her books are set in this kingdom and you get different characters. This book is really, really special to me. I've read it a lot over the years. I actually, my childhood copy has an inscription in it from my grandfather who gave it to me at Christmas 2001. Wow. So it's been in my life for 22 years. I just had to read the inscription because it's so cute. It says, "Dear Tilly, maybe the start of a long relationship in brackets. It's a series dot, 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 dot." And it's, he was right, because it has been in my life a long time.
I love that.
Yeah, he actually gave me both this book and the second one, Wolf Speaker, and not knowing, because I was young and dumb, that they were one and two, I actually read Wolf Speaker first and was even more confused than you two
are. Oh, no.
It's like, what is happening? Why are all these people talking like they know each other? I don't know them, but I loved it. And Wolf Speaker, I think, has kind of more plot going on right away that I think you would latch on to. So I would encourage you both to read it.
Okay.
In general, I love almost all of Tamora. I'm going to call her Tamora because that's my truth. I love almost all of Tamora's books.
this series has always had like a really special place in my heart because of the animals. I really related to Dane and just being like kind of quiet and like smart and like having her own thing going on. Mm-hmm. And I just like love the kingdom. I love the fantasy. I love the way magic works. Mm-hmm. It's not really well explained here, but basically the whole thing with Dane is that, okay, so first of all, there's a particular kind of magic that most people have. It's called the gift, and you're either born with it or not. And you can have like kind of different ways that the gift works for you,
right?
But it's pretty much always the same. And okay. The reason that Dane is so different is because she has wild magic, which is different. It doesn't get affected by the same things that the gift does, and it works in a completely different way. So I think that's why they're all more willing to trust her, is because Numair, who's like a really powerful mage, can like see her magic and see how it works differently. Anyway, I'm getting into the weeds now because I'm just like, I'm nerding out about these books, but I just really love this series. It's really, really special to me, and I'm so glad to be talking about it. It's 5 stars, of course.
Yeah.
one star.
I really liked in the book, and this is the part that I'm most interested to read about in the next book. They say kind of like in passing, like, all of these monsters are coming here, and they're monsters that were trapped by gods or something, and they're all coming here. And I think it was Numair or maybe Dane says, like, I think there are monsters, like, they're not coming here, they're coming back here, and they were from this place, because it was like the first time we see the, what are they called, the wing,
Storm wings,
and we see Shaunae Bitterclaws, and her and her kind of men come in. Her? Mm-hmm. It's a her, right?
Yeah. She's a queen, yeah.
Okay, yeah. The first time we see them, I was like, what is happening? And then we see them again, and I'm like, there was no explanation. What is happening? Yeah. And so I feel like I need that backstory, which I'm assuming is going to come from maybe new characters or whatever, more explanation and talk in the next book, because I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
Right, now. You're going to get a really satisfying arc with that storyline.
Yeah.
The series is actually called The Immortals. So it's all about like this kind of the immortals, the monsters and like the griffins and everybody kind of coming back into this world.
Okay.
And like how we deal with that and how like the characters deal with it.
When I was reading the part with the griffin, it was making me think of the 1999 Hallmark version of Alice in Wonderland, where Christopher Lloyd plays the griffin and Gene Wilder plays the mock turtle, and they dance on a soup bowl rim. Anyway, so that was that was all I thought about during the griffin part. And I think that maybe it took the tone of the griffins down for me, because I was like, I think they're supposed to be really cool and a big deal, but I'm like picturing Gene Wilder tap dancing on the side of a soup bowl. So anyway, that was just a side note.
Some
really good movie.
Some of these monsters, I was like, what? This is a kid's book.
I know.
A spidern? Excuse me, Tilly. A spider with a human face? Like that creepy?
I knew you'd hate that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that creepy toy in Toy Story. Sid's toy with like, ding, 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 like the metal legs.
Yep.
Yeah. Awful.
That's my sound for the metal legs moving. Ding, ding,
ding, ding. It's perfect.
Well, I read it and I was like, oh my god, how old were you when you read this? Were you like freaked out by any of these descriptions?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I think I was probably 8. Because if it was 22 years ago, yeah, I would have been 8.
Yeah, because I was like, this is scary. Like, picturing some of them.
They're scary and they're really visceral. And a lot of the whole thing with the storm wings is that they're like war creatures. Like they feed on like fear and blood and like carcasses, like that's their whole thing. And it's pretty intense. Tamara Pierce worked as a social worker for a long time, and like a kind of a mother of a foster home. Not a mother, but she was like the guardian of the young foster home.
Okay.
And I think that informs a lot of her writing, is she writes about like trauma and like children kind of like finding their ways out of it and how they deal with like difficult life situations and especially like young women empowering themselves.
So that's what I was really drawn to as a kid, was like the girl saves herself in all of her books. You know, like she has another series about a lady knight. There's Alanna, but then there's also another series with Kelladry of Mindelin, who is like a lady knight who goes through a lot of stuff too. And I don't know, I always felt so like empowered by her stories, especially as like kind of a young shy kid and feeling like I wasn't very confident. I couldn't like fight with swords or whatever. Maybe that's why I connected more with Dane than with Alanna or Kel, because like Dane isn't about sword fighting. Yeah. She's about like speaking and caretaking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love her books for that reason.
Mm-hmm. So Alanna the Lioness is Alanna from the other series.
Yeah.
I hadn't read it, but I knew you guys talked about it and Kelly said that she had read it. And then when I was reading this book, I was like, oh, it has to be her. So does she always have overlap like that in her books?
Yeah. Mm. Alanna shows up quite a lot. I think Dane shows up in the Kel books. Mm. There's another little duology with Alanna's daughter, which is really, really good. She's like, she becomes like a spy master. She gets kidnapped.
Oh, nice.
It's like she falls in love with a crow man. It's amazing.
What?
He's a man who's also a crow.
What?
Yeah. yeah, there's pretty much overlap in almost all of her books. And like the king and queen, Jonathan and Thea, show up again and again. Mm-hmm. They're both in the Alanna books. It is truly like a cinematic universe.
I have a funny note that is not. I was reading this. I was like, Kelly, this is a kid's book. Like, relax.
Okay.
But did anyone. I need to know, especially Tilly, because this was your pick. I need to know when you were a kid. When I first met, is it Numaire?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Numaire. I thought, then I had to remind myself, no, Dane is a child. She's not an adult. I thought there was something going on between Numaire and Dane, and I was like, I want them to get together.
That does happen, Kelly. You're not wrong on picking up on the vibes. I will say, unfortunately, Tamora has a bad habit of pairing an older man with a younger girl. And it doesn't happen until, like, Dane is, like, of age in the fourth book.
Isn't he married?
He's not married, no.
What? But they... What? What?
Yeah. But he is like her mentor for the whole series, and the power dynamic is like a little bit
weird. It's like Celine Dion.
Yeah, I will say, like, I don't know what that is, but it happens again and again in like kind of all her series where it's like the man is older and like kind of in a position of authority. It's probably the thing that I think has aged the least well about all her books, unfortunately.
Right. Is that what it's like in Alanna too? What's his name? The Baron?
George. Yeah, he's older than her in the. It's like a little bit less weird because he's not a mentor of hers.
Yeah.
Oh, they just meet.
They meet, but they meet when she's, again, quite young. Mm-hmm. And then there's like vibes. I don't know.
But it's also medieval. You know what I mean?
That does happen. Yeah. And unfortunately, because I read this when I was young and impressionable, I'm into it.
Right.
Which is like, that's a problematic thing on my end. But you picked up on it too, Kelly, so I don't feel so
bad. But I wasn't
creeped. I was also, because like the nickname and the kind of like persistence and I was like, okay.
I will say, when it does actually happen in the fourth book, it's not Numaire's choice. It's Dane's choice to be like, I want to take this to another level. And he actually requires a lot of convincing because he's been feeling all this like guilt and like, it's not right. Like I've been trying to like, it's
so she tries to redeem in the end.
Yeah, and
that's though. And it's not like
it does feel okay. Like it doesn't ever feel that icky. It's only when you think about it as an adult.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, we're not going around trying to convince young girls to date older men, so we can like it in books. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a delightful character. I will forever love him. There's maybe a reason that I ended up with like a tall, curly haired, kind of like big intelligent mind person in my personal life. And maybe that's due to Numaire, but we'll never know. We'll never know.
What was he described as looking like? Is that what he was described as? Do you have like curly hair and stuff?
Yeah.
I was picturing like I I was not listening to the descriptions, obviously. I was picturing, like, tall, like, long, like, braids.
Ooh.
Like, indigenous man, like, ooh, one with the earth kind of thing. Yes. And I was like, yeah, yeah, I dig it.
He's hot, and he's hot, and he's got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And he's, like,
magical.
He's, like, silly.
Yeah.
He doesn't take himself very seriously. There's also, recently, a series that she's started. She's released the first book about Numair when he was in school, like, when he was younger.
Oh.
The first book is called Tempests and Slaughter. I think it came out in, like, 2019. Okay. And there's supposed to be more books that haven't come out yet.
Okay.
I will say, in this series, the third book, Emperor Mage, is absolutely my favorite one.
Okay.
It's so good. They travel to Karthak, so they talk about how in this book that Karthak is, like, trying to go to war with, like, the emperor, and, like, there's right, all this drama, and they travel there on a diplomatic mission. All sorts of shit goes down. It's amazing.
Okay.
Cool.
I have another question.
Yes.
Not question. Thought. Okay, I was disappointed in Sarge, because at first I liked him, and then I got upset because I highlighted it. He was, like, telling the boys to listen to Dane when she's telling them things about the horses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then he says to her, like, don't worry, it's not your fault, whatever. And then he's like, these city boys see you. You're young, sweet looking. They're going to try to take advantage. Whatever, you know, like, all this stuff. I was like, okay. And then he, like, winks at her and, like, says something. And I'm like, Sarge, like.
I know.
That was my thing at the beginning, I think before we recorded, where I was like, it's the time, you know? Because.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, I don't think Sarge is a bad guy, but I think, like, nowadays, if someone did that to me, I'd be like, no, you know? But he meant well.
I think he's also kind of, in this book specifically, coded as being, like, a big gay man.
Oh, really?
At least that's how it feels to me.
Right. Okay.
So I wonder if maybe that's also, like, what she's trying to do. I don't think it works either.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
I think I have, this is my only note in the whole book. I have some things highlighted, but this is the only thing I wrote an actual note on. Basically, I had the audiobook helped me a lot because I read the first, like, 15 pages of this, and I have this line highlighted. Dane, mum, came the soft reply. Verla Dane Sarisri. And my note on it is, this is reminding me of the fantasy TikTok sound where they can't pronounce anything.
Oh, no.
And it's like, I'm on my way to bloopity bloop with Carl. Like, that, yes. And I was just like, I was like, I have no fucking idea what's going on, because every third word is something that I have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, fantasy books, and I'm like, good fantasy books have a way of doing that to you where they just totally fuck your life up for, like, the first, like, 50 pages. And then you finally are like, oh, that's what this means.
Yeah.
But I was like, what is going on?
I know. Her name is ridiculous. Something that's interesting, though, is that there's a bunch of different cultures in this world. Mm-hmm. And because where Dane comes from, the last name is usually, like, the father's name plus, like, a suffix.
Yeah, it's like son or daughter. So hers is daughter of Sarah.
Right. And that's supposed to be, like, shameful because she doesn't know who her father is.
Yeah.
So it's, like, a way of making her, like, different. And people would, like, make fun of her and, like, mock her and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it is a ridiculous name. You're totally right. It's like, what's going on here?
I was like, thank God they just call her Dane, because that's a mouthful.
Absolutely.
I like.
Did you guys have a favorite? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just wondering if you had a favorite part.
Yes. I like, first of all, I like the dream sequence with the badger where she gets the claw. That's what I was about to say. I was about to say, like, I wanted to know more about the badger and the claw and, like, same, what does that mean? Because if she can, like, walk in dreams, wait a second, that could be good and bad, you know? Like, uh-oh. And I also really liked the part where she, like, but it was stressful. She strapped herself to the rocks and, like, was trying to talk to the Kraken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that.
So good.
Yeah. That was my favorite.
I really liked all the stuff in the like castle or fortress, like Alana's home. Mm-hmm. I really liked that. And her her relationship with Alana and the Queen's children and like their little moments together, yeah. I really, really liked.
Yeah, there's a lot of sweet stuff there. I agree. I love the when they get to the fortress. All these books kind of blend together for me after a while. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, oh, yeah, all this happens in this book. Wow. I had kind of memories that this all happened later. But OK, I really love when all the bats come and like attach to her clothes. Yeah. And she's like walking around with all the bats and being like, all right, like, what do you say, little Pipistrelle? OK, I'm going to consult with my other bat friend. And then like getting all the reports and then having all this like military strategy with the animals, I think is like so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. When she sends them all off and she's like, you're going to totally wreck their camp. And it's like, you're in charge of this and you're in charge of this. I was like, yeah, overtake.
Yeah. I liked when they were talking about how like, because she didn't want the animals to fight at first. Because she's like, it's not their fight. I don't want them to die. And I don't remember who said it. It was Numair or Onua or both of them. But they were like, well, if they want to fight, then they should be allowed to fight because it's also their home. And like, you know. Like, we have human friends, but they're putting their lives on the line here. So if they want to, go for it. If not, they don't have to, you know?
Yeah.
But
like, teach them how to do it safely, if that's your concern.
Yeah, and defend themselves or hide or, So the only animal thing that wasn't, like, a creepy spider thing that I was like, was when she woke up and was it a cat giving birth? If I woke up and there was a cat giving birth right there, I'd be like, oh, right on your bed. But I would love to wake up to cats on my bed or to, you know, bats up on the little tent or the lean-to, you know? I would love to, like, have just animals around me because, like, she knows that she's safe. It's not like, oh my gosh, you know? I just think my Disney princess dream.
It truly is,
I have to talk to Dane. I have to get her insight.
Thank you so much for joining us for our last installment of our childhood favorites. You can join us next time while we read Babel by R.F. Kuang, which we are all so excited about. If you want to see more from us, you can follow us on Instagram at BYO Book Podcast or on TikTok at Bring Your Own Book Podcast. And until next time, keep on drinking in great stories. Cheers!
Next time on the Bring Your Own Book podcast. By the time Professor Richard Lovell found his way through Canton's narrow alleys to the faded address in his diary, the boy was the only one in the house left alive.